The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the social studio.
Hello, I'm Trevor Dan, and this is the weekly podcast from radiotoday.co.uk, which was recorded at the Radio Production Awards in London's glamorous Hippodrome. This is the event organised jointly by the Radio Academy and the Radio Independence Group to honour the workers at radio's coal face, the producers, researchers, sound designers, engineers, all those people who deserve their moment in the spotlight and don't always get it at other award shows. After the event, I joined the revellers in a very noisy bar and caught up with the host, Lauren Laverne, and some of the winners.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Big winners of the night, Whistledown, Top Company, David Prest.
Thank you very much, Trevor. We're delighted. We bought a lot of seats tonight.
We had two tables.
I've no idea. But we're absolutely delighted. But I think it's really kind of just shows how strong indies are at the moment, how many production companies we've got fighting for the work, fighting for the business, and how much pressure we have to kind of keep up both on the BBC and to make sure that we get commercial work as well. And a big credit for Deborah, who has made extraordinary programmes this year in particular, and a great programme about Afghanistan and what squaddies listen to on their iPods and things like that.
Is there a living to be made then, Deborah, out of being an independent producer?
Very good question. Yes, I think you have to have passion for radio. That's passionate. You're never going to be a millionaire, but people do it for the love of it anyway, don't they?
Do you like working through an independent producer for the BBC?
Oh, absolutely.
Rather than just simply working for the BBC?
Yes, I've worked in-house and outside, and I love the freedom that working for an indie gives you. You get to realise your own ideas. You're not part of a kind of machine that maybe takes them on and gives them to someone else. You get to develop your own ideas and take them through and work, you know, in lots of creative ways.
Well-deserved award. Whistledown, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks very much, Trevor.
I'm barging through here. Lauren Laverne, how are you?
Hello, Trevor. I'm very well, thank you.
That was a very good event. I thought the presenter stole the show. What did you think?
Oh, no. Well, no, I don't think the presenter stole the show whatsoever, but I'm very, you know, grateful for your kind words. No, it's such a lovely night, you know, and so nice to be here with so many friends and colleagues and really talented people celebrating, you know, the unsung heroes of all of our daily lives, really. For so many people, radio and podcasts and all that kind of thing are a big part of our daily routine, and you know, they kind of connect us with other people, and these are the people that make it happen. So delighted to be here.
You talked on the stage about having a producer. There'll be people listening to this from commercial radio who say, what's a producer? What the hell does she need one of those for? Why do you need a production team, Lauren, and what do they do for you?
Well, I mean, I started out in commercial radio without a producer, so I've done both, and I definitely know which I prefer. With our show, you know, we have a kind of complex production. We have a lot of people coming in and out of the studio, and in terms of my show, we have live session guests. We have, you know, other guests who are talking about film projects, perhaps actors, authors, things like that. So we build the show together. I mean, we do everything. You know, there's only three of us that work in the studio day to day, and it's a very tight, kind of lean team. Everybody pulls their weight, so everybody does a little bit of everything, is the truth of it. It's kind of like, you know, it is like building anything. I would say, like, it's like bricks or Lego or houses, you know. Everybody, you do what needs to be done, don't you? That's live broadcasting. So people have got, you know, very specific roles. Obviously, I'm the presenter, and I know what I'm going to say, and I choose, you know, the music that I choose. But then we've got on our team a brilliant producer who oversees the shows, who books the session guests, who helps keep an eye across the music too, and a fantastic broadcast assistant who does bits of all of that, you know. It's such a cliche to say, but it's a team effort, it's a team enterprise, you know.
A decent producer would say this background noise is too loud.
Well, it's Howling Wolf, so you can't complain about it.
Thank you, Lauren, appreciate it.
Nice to see you, take care.
Another big winner, Tim Johns from the Jeremy Vine Show. Why did you win this award then?
I don't know. My job on the Jeremy Vine Show a lot of the time is to make little radio packages about, you know, the big news story of the day. And so my entry was a compilation of those. So they were all like 2.5, 3 minutes shoved together, and I entered that. And I genuinely thought that something that took a bit longer to explore a subject, a topic, and brought out maybe some emotion, some laughter, some tears, might win. But I'm really delighted that, well, I'm very happy to win myself, but I'm delighted that an entry comprised of radio packages for a news program won the award, because I love making them and I love radio packages, and I'm, yeah, so it's just...
Because that kind of skill is taught in universities, but it's not used a lot in radio, is it? I suppose the Vine Show is one of the few places where, you know, your skill can be utilised.
I absolutely have to thank my boss, the editor of the Jeremy Vine Show. He's been there so long, Phil Jones. And he's, you know, he's been there for such a long time, but he's not afraid to I don't know, I came in and I happened to be fairly good at making packages, and he just goes, right, great, we'll do that. We'll do that with the show. He's not gone along with the current trend, which I think in the last few years for current affairs journalism is, it's got to be live, we've got to have a two-way, we've got to do a disco, we've got
to... If you went to Jeremy 5 years ago and said, in your new show, you're going to have a bloke from Lincolnshire making packages, he'd have said, no, you're not. But actually, he loves them too.
Well, to Jeremy's credit, he is absolutely up for anything, yeah, which makes the show sound better. And actually, just to think, to go back to something you mentioned earlier about the trouble with packages is the resources they take in terms of time, because a 2.5 minute news package can take a lot of time. And I think and I hope part of the reason I've done well tonight is to do with the you know, I try and put something together in like 2.5 hours in the morning. So it's economical for radio, the industry, and it can be done, and hopefully it's, you know, a useful end product.
Plus, you are a bit of a saddo with nothing else to do in your life.
You are correct.
Tim Jones, well done. Thank you.
Thanks, Trevor.
Kelly Redman, what did you win?
I won Best Music Entertainment Producer. I'm so lucky. I work with two of the nicest presenters. I work with Trevor Nelson on Radio 2 and Tom Robinson on 6 Music, for now playing at 6 Music, which is a multi-platform show. But I feel very proud and privileged to work on them. And it kind of makes you think, all those hours when you spend late in the office, you know, overnight sometimes, and you're just with the audio and you're just making it all sound perfect, or you're doing live shows at, you know, whatever hours, it kind of just makes you feel really chuffed, and I know that, that it's all, I don't know, it's just really good.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
Best creative, Luke Durand, what does that mean?
I don't know, it's a nice accolade, it's a nice honour, it's a nice trophy. It means that I got the award ahead of two of my colleagues, which is bittersweet, but quite nice.
What was your entry?
It was for Radio 4 and 4 Extra, so it's a mixture of stuff. It was a showreel that I've done for Radio 4 recently to be played ahead of live programmes. It was some features I've done for 4 Extra and a mixture of trails I've done as well, really. So there's I went for quite a broad mix, really, which might have helped. I don't know.
Nice to see the BBC taking part in these awards.
Well, they should do, you know. It's about radio production, you know. BBC does radio as well as anyone else. And production is, it, you know, it's at the heart of it, really. It'd be nice to see more people, you know, maybe more BBC.
We're having our picture taken, that's embarrassing. There we were. How do you think that went?
The picture?
That was a multi-platform experience.
I wasn't quite ready for it, to be honest, really. My hair was slightly off. That was it.
Thank you, Luke. Okay. We're only talking to winners. From podium.me.
Chica as.
And you won?
I won Best Online/Podcast.
Okay, so...
Diverse.
For what?
So I make a podcast about young people all around the UK. So I produce it, like, and we've got journalists around the UK that send in audio, and then I pop it together. I think I've got the easy job, pop it together in a lovely podcast. So
now, there will be people listening to this who are radio professionals who don't even know what podium.me is.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. So it's all about young people from all around the UK and all their different stories, because it's quite hard to get young people on radio, like under 25. So, for example, we did a whole feature today on selfies. And then the girl that was in the bit they played earlier, she was a girl from Syria who had come over. She'd been at school, and her mate from school interviewed her, and she gave the most honest, interview, and like I really did nothing in that. I just sort of cut it up, popped it together. So I'm not getting any credit for that, but it's amazing. It's really cool.
Chica, do we need broadcast radio anymore, or is the younger generation, your generation, going to just consume radio or audio, whatever we're going to call it, online and through podcasts?
I think the radio in Britain is brilliant. We've got so many good, and we cater for so many people with so many different stations. But I think podcasting is really exciting. At the moment, nobody really knows how it's, where it's going, how it's going to make money, all of this stuff. But it is exciting, and it's got so many loyal followers. And I don't think it's going to wipe out radio at all whatsoever, but I really think it's going to hold a sort of strong place.
I guess what it's doing is taking radio away from the gatekeepers. It's saying, if we like it, we'll hear it, we'll listen to it wherever it is. You know, it can be Serial, that's the big thing everybody's talking about.
Absolutely.
You listening to that?
We're all listening to it.
We're all radio fans, we're all listening to that program that isn't on the radio.
Exactly, but it's really exciting that recently podcasting's gone from being quite a geeky thing, something you'd very specialistically listen to something that a lot of people are talking about from, you know, that have so many different interests, and I think that's very exciting.
Thank you, Chica.
Thank you ever so much.
The RPAs are a RIG and Radio Academy co-production. Phil Critchlow is here from RIG. How did you think it went?
I thought it went really well. And I'm not just saying that. I think, bearing in mind where we were 5 years ago, it's grown, it's got better, it's got more credible. I think these awards have real integrity. I think the people who are judging them are allowed to get on and do exactly that and make decisions which are the right decisions.
What I love about it is that it's people who win them, not companies. Yeah. I mean, I know there is an India of the Year and everything, but it seems to be a celebration of the people who make the shows.
It's a craft award, and that is really important, because without that we don't have any radio. And as you're saying, having a glamorous awards which celebrates people who are on air day in day out and have that profile is one thing, but this genuinely is all about the people who are at the coalface day in day out and night in and night out, often making award-winning radio. So it's brilliant.
Well, those were the Radio Production Awards 2014. I've been Trevor at trevordan.com. Let's have some news now from Roy Martin, and here is Will Jackson to introduce him.
Roy Martin's on the way next.
Oh, thank you, Will. Kistory is being added to 15 local radio multiplexes, giving the spin-off station a decent amount of coverage on DAB across the country, starting on January the 5th. Stablemate at 1 Golden Square Heat is also being added to 5 extra areas. Journalist and producer Gillian Reynolds received a standing ovation at the Radio Production Awards recently when she picked up the Gold Award. Judges said that she's not only our supporter, but our champion. Full details of the event and all the winners are now online at radiotoday.co.uk. And the new Christmas marketing campaign for digital radio kicks off soon with the message, "If you love radio, give digital." It's shared by actress Susie Perry and it'll be on radio and TV near you. See more in this week's edition of Hashtag eRadio. That's the very latest for radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Roy Martin.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
We start this week 36 years ago and frequency changes for radio stations across Europe.
A new international frequency agreement comes into effect, and many of the frequencies used for the BBC will be changed at that time. Radio 1, Radio 2, and Radio 3 will be found upon the medium wave, whereas Radio 4 will be located on the long wave. For sets marked in frequencies, Radio 1 will be on 105.3 and 108.9.
How great is that? The King Singers with a remarkable rendition to herald those frequency changes this week in 78, thanks to that new Geneva International Agreement on Frequency Usage, which saw Radio 4 shift to long wave to the space vacated by Radio 2.
Just think of all those poor Wagoner's Walk followers on the continent who are going to be left in mid-story after today. One more episode to go, that's this afternoon, of course, at 4.30 here on Radio 2.
Meanwhile, wonderful Radio 1 moved from its birthplace at 247 to
275, 285.
Changes to at commercial radio. Trent moved from 998 to
999.
Capital, Forth, City and Hallam moved from 1546 to 1548. And LBC, BRM, how do we know all this? LBC, BRMB, Piccadilly and Clyde moved from 1151 to 1152. But we didn't all stick little stickers through the letterboxes.
Radio 2.
That's just lovely, isn't it? It's 20 years this week since we lost Stephen Williams. Now, Stephen was the first British radio announcer on Radio Luxembourg in 1933 and the chap who rescued the records and started the station again after it was forced off air during the war.
When people began calling me in the long, long ago now, the first disc jockey on Luxembourg, I didn't know what they were talking about to begin with. And then when I heard a disc jockey or two, I realised that what they did usually was to link two sides of a gramophone record or two different records with a whole lot of inconsequential chat, which might be quite amusing, but didn't mean anything.
Stephen Williams of Radio Luxembourg, who died this week in 94. One of the most recognisable voices on Luxembourg in later years, long after Stephen's time, was Stuart Henry. Stuart had MS and he coped with it well on air for many years. Stuart died this week, 19 years ago.
From Fleet Street, 208 Daily Mirror News.
And with the time just before 1 o'clock, here is indeed the news headlines. Britain is to get the new Leyland Mini, provided real progress is made to put industrial relations...
Farewell, Stuart Henry. He died this week in 95. Manx Radio is 50 years old this year. It began on the 1st of June 1964 from a 20-foot caravan. And this week, that year, it was officially opened, Britain's first licensed commercial radio station.
The Manx Radio is now in its infancy, and although its birth has been a little troublesome, I'm confident that, properly nursed and supported, it will fulfill its youthful promise to full stature as a responsible, respected and well-loved element in our community life.
The early days of Manx Radio. The station was officially opened on Monday, November the 23rd, 1964, by Lieutenant Governor Sir Ronald Garvey. Happy birthday this week to what was Radio Carlisle. Just imagine the programme organiser linking arms with the DJ and doing a little jig to that as BBC Radio Carlisle launched this week in 1973. Now Radio Cumbria. That was the last in the first round of BBC Local Radio. Now BBC Local Radio loved its jingles, didn't it? And this week in 67, as Radio Merseyside launched, they couldn't wait to play theirs.
And it's Merseyside.
This is BBC Radio Merseyside.
The launch of BBC Radio Merseyside this week, 47 years ago. 8 years ago, the nation said a fond farewell to this unmistakable voice.
Here we go with the 20. Lost Herman's Hermits, the Isley Brothers and Liz O'Connor, and brand new at this week's number 20.
The Pop Pickers thing into operation, because I thought, you really can't go on the air and do a pop programme and say, hello, ladies and gentlemen. That's silly. And while I know they're ladies and gentlemen, they are something apart from that. I think that if you're doing Radio 3, I think you can safely say, ladies and gentlemen. I think that on commercial radio, or if you're working on Radio 1, you know, to have a pop programme and sort of say, well, hi there, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it sounds so naive, doesn't it? It's crazy. Pop, they're pop pickers, you see. They listen to pop music, and they're the ones who determine what goes in the charts. They pick them. That's what they are. They're pop pickers.
Of course, Alan Freeman, who died this week in 2006. Another end of an era in Birmingham this week, 33 years ago. Or was it?
And now I'm very sorry to say that BBC Radio Birmingham is closing down. Yes, we're closing down, and we're closing down for good. But tomorrow, Radio WM takes to the airwaves with all your favourite programmes and presenters. And, of course, it'll be louder and better than ever. That's Radio WM, the sound of local radio for the 1980s, in tune with the West Midlands, from 6:30 tomorrow morning, with Alan Dedicote bringing you all the news and, of course, lots of information as well.
One day we were Radio Birmingham, the next we were Radio WM. I seem to remember it was all very exciting, certainly. And I remember we had brand new spangly jingles as well that have been made locally.
You're a part of it, we're a part of it. When you listen to us, that's just the start of it. Let's get closer together, closer with WM.
The name change for BBC Radio Birmingham this week in 81. And in that market, Heart, of course, is the only station only to have had one name. So with the launch of Absolute 60s this week, 3 years ago...
Sir Cliff Richard there, hoping Absolute Radio 60s will be very successful.
Wilfred Pickles joining the BBC 73 years ago, the first newsreader not to speak with received pronunciation.
Here's the news. This is Wilfred Pickles reading it.
And the end of The Voice of Peace, 21 years ago.
From somewhere in the Mediterranean.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Moments.
Thanks as ever, David, and a special thank you this week to Will Jackson, Sue Clark and everyone at RIG, and of course Gloria Abramoff and her team at what's left of the Radio Academy. You can read a full list of the winners at this week's RPAs at radiotoday.co.uk. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.